chapter 12, and we're going to talk about divine chastisement tonight. It's an important Bible doctrine. Every good Bible-focused parent sometimes must correct his or her child, because every child needs correction. Every child has foolishness locked up in his or her heart. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Every child needs to be corrected further. This correction is often painful. It's often painful. And children need that correction. Don't tell me that your child has never needed to be spanked. I would say that if you said that, you'd be wrong about that. You have the wrong philosophy, you have the wrong perceptions, you have the wrong purpose. Because the Bible tells us that every child is a sinner by nature and will show rebellion and pride in various different applications, resistance to authority, and they need to be corrected. God's method is chastening an errant child to bring that child to repentance and submission and obedience. And we're going to read some verses in Hebrews chapter 12 to indicate to us that God deals with his children in the same way. He's the perfect parent. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, yes, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." And that word simply means illegitimate. You're not a true son if God does not correct you. Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." And in addition to this, would you turn to a couple of references in the Old Testament, please, that we'll read before we actually begin to discuss this briefly this evening, divine correction or chastisement. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. And here the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." And then in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, 2 Samuel 7:14 is where the word of God says this, "And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men." And then in the Psalms, Psalm 6:1 and 38:1, the Bible says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." 38:1 says exactly the same thing. And Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." And the Bible does establish this for use in the family to bring about repentance, submission, and obedience. And too often, parents are too soft-hearted. They're too tender-hearted with their children, and they don't correct them as they should. And I know it's hard. But you know, the man of the house should be able, especially the man of the house should be able to analyze the situation and guide his wife, even in things that are very, very difficult and challenging to do. And God gives us this formula for training up a child in the way he should go. And he does the same thing with his children. He is the perfect father. I want us to consider from Hebrews chapter 12 the necessity of divine chastisement. The Bible teaches us that every one of God's children needs this. Verse 5 says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" The Bible says every one of God's children needs this. Everyone, every child of God receives chastening. Can you define and recall times when the Lord has chastened or corrected you? When you knew that this was the hand of the Lord and he was trying to send you a strong message? If you're saved, you ought to be able to identify times in your life when you know that you were doing wrong on purpose. And you were stubborn and you were digging in your heels. Maybe it was pride, maybe it was rebellion, maybe it was disobedience against God, and he responded, and there was no way you could place any other label on that than, "This is the Lord's correction in my life." The Bible says God does this with all of his children. And if somebody says, "Oh, I've never been corrected, I've never been chastened by God," and if you say that, you are betraying, according to this passage of Scripture, since every child of God whom he receives is chastened, what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you're without chastisement, you're not one of God's children if you haven't been corrected by God. That's what Hebrews 12:8 says. God is a faithful, he's the perfect father, and he sometimes corrects his children when we step out of line. The Bible here states that one who is never divinely corrected is not God's child at all, and all of God's children are corrected because we need it. We need it, just as your little children need correction. So adult children of God need correction on occasion. And so there is the necessity of divine chastisement. Then there's the motivation for divine chastening. And this is important for us to realize. Verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." The motivation is divine love. Do you understand that if you're saved, God the Father can and will make you will sometimes make your life hard for the purpose of correcting you? Why does he do this? Why does God allow this? And undoubtedly there have been a lot of saints who have in frustration said, "Where is God? Why does God do something about this? This is challenging. This is so difficult." Well, he wants to correct us. He wants his chastening to be effective in our life. And he knows, the Lord knows how much it will take for us to come around. God knows. And so it's never, the right response is never to stop trusting him. The right response is to find out what is the reason for this. Why did God allow this to happen in my life, or why did he bring this to my life? Not because he derives pleasure from hurting or frustrating people. He's not that kind of a God. And sometimes people get the wrong attitude of God toward God just because they view God wrongly. I heard somebody say not long ago that God does not look for reasons, hunt for reasons to send people to hell. He looks for reasons to bring people to heaven with him. He's a loving God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And somebody said, "Oh yes, I believe in hell, but but sometimes I've heard it preached as though the preacher were glad you were going there. Well, that would not be godly preaching. That would not be Christ-honoring preaching, because the Lord spoke with real compassion about those who were not saved. He does not derive pleasure from hurting or frustrating people. It's not because he's somehow justified as God by being able to deal with his people the way he does. I think sometimes parents can get the wrong view, and they can get into this, you know, this punishing or getting back type of mode. And that is carnal. That is carnal parenting. Motivation for divine for parental chastisement or correction should be love. I want my child to learn to do what's right. And God is the pattern of that. He corrects his children not because he's somehow justified as God by so dealing with people, not because he can, and he can, he can. He can do whatever he chooses to with us. Job said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. God, you can do anything to me. You can even take my life. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to trust in you. And so he was one who was committed. He was one, by the way, whom God said was the most godly man, apparently the most godly man in the world. But he had all kinds of troubles. He still needed some divine correction in his life to make him stronger, to get him past some pride, apparently, that had crept into his life. And another example is, of course, Joseph. He had some youthful naivety, but no outward indications of sin in his life that God needed to deal with. But God had a purpose. And somebody may ask, "Oh, what did I do wrong?" Well, not necessarily anything, but the Holy Spirit has ways of showing us if he wants to correct some things in our life. Sometimes we sin willfully, and an involved Heavenly Father will correct us. Other times he just wants to make us stronger. And I think both of those things fit into this correction, chastening definition. I think it's interesting to note that this word chastisement, chastening, the noun form or the verb form, they're paideia, paideutes, paiduo, they all have as their root the child, the child, the child. That's what paideia is. It's the child. And so this is about instruction and correction. That's what it's about. And sometimes it's correction that's needed. Sometimes it's instruction that's needed. But whatever is needed, our gracious Heavenly Father will provide. And we train our children with the attitude that there will be a penalty if you don't learn to control yourself in this area. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12:10, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." It's about children learning to control themselves. And I've said this many times, that we correct and we chasten, we discipline our children and bring them under control until they learn to control themselves. That's what it's all about. It's not about lashing out in anger. It's not about punishment. It's not about getting even. And God's example is that he loves his people. He loves his children. And so he works to strengthen them, to correct them, and that's what divine chastisement is all about. It's because of God, of love that God has for his own. And this is the very same reason that parents discipline their children, not because they want to set an example for others to follow. That would be personal pride. Not because they want to punish the child for their misbehavior. That would be getting even. But because they love their children, they don't lash out in anger toward that child. That would be a lack of self-control on the part of the parents. I've told you and told you and told you, don't you lose your temper. And how effective would that be? We could say that wouldn't be effective at all. Sometimes divine chastisement is about God simply working to fulfill his purpose in the child's life. Now look with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, and most of you are familiar with this portion of scripture. In the very last chapter of the book of Genesis, after Jacob had died, his sons were still afraid of their one of their youngest brothers, Joseph, who was now in a position of great authority, and he could take out vengeance on them if he chose to do that. But his response when he found out they were still fearing him was, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Verse 20 says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." This was the reason why God wanted to work in Joseph's life. He was not a man who was seriously out of step with godliness. He was not. But God had a purpose, a great purpose he wanted to fulfill in Joseph's life. And so he worked, and we could call this divine chastisement, divine correction. At other times we sin on purpose. And God, because he's involved in our life, he steps in and says, "Don't do that. Don't do that. And I'll correct you because of it." And it's always in love. It's always in love. I was driving out of our driveway the other day, and I feared that I'd gotten too close to the south edge of our driveway where the yard kind of tapers off a little bit. That's the same place where when we got home from Fargo a couple weeks ago from spending a few days at Fargo Baptist recording a class for Brother Lang's International Bible College, there were two payloaders in our yard, and the one was there because the other one had gotten stuck. And they have these gigantic tires on them. You know, how in the world could one of those big old payloaders get stuck in the yard? But it was. And he was down on that side. And so that's an area that I avoid at all cost. I stay away. I almost went too far and slipped down and was unable to get back out of there. And some of you ladies who've been to our ladies' Christmas party know that when there's even just a light snowfall on the ground, you pull down into that low up part of the yard, and it's real hard to get back out. We avoid situations that we think will give us trouble, but sometimes God purposes those things. And if I know, oh, the last time I tried that, God corrected me, that will keep me from going there again. That I'll be more careful, I'll be more cautious. Just like I don't want anybody who's coming up to our house to end up stranded down there in the back 40, if you will. God doesn't want his children stranded in the back 40 either. He doesn't. He wants them to keep on the road. He wants them to keep on moving forward and making progress in their life for his honor and glory. And so he will correct his children accordingly. And we see in the Word of God that divine chastisement is absolutely necessary. Every child needs to be corrected sometimes. And God always does this out of love. Look in your Bible with me to chapter 12, verse 11 of Hebrews. And this is not necessarily it's not typically a pleasant experience. But as I said, it's something that we learn from. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love..." And notice this is what's being emphasized here. "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, if if the Lord wants to make us like him, according to the last half of verse 2, what's that going to take? Is there anybody here who would say, I'm as much like Jesus as I need to be? No, I didn't think so. If we have any kind of understanding, we understand we've got a long ways to go. And so the Lord has a great work to do in our life, and sometimes that involves pressure. You know, they say that it's a lot of pressure and a lot of heat on a piece of coal that forms a diamond. And we need a lot of pressure, we need a lot of heat a lot of times for us to become the diamond that God wants his children to be. He wants us to be like Christ. Romans 8:28 is a great comforting verse. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He wants to make us like his son, Jesus Christ. So what's that going to take? Oh, I wish I didn't have to fill in the blank. If you're a child of God, you probably do. God has a great work to do in your life. And you'll probably go in a lot of ways that you'd rather not go. Just because it's not a simple task to make any of us like God's son. It's not a piece of cake for any of us to become like Jesus. God has a lot of work to do in all of our lives. And if you are focused, if you are committed and consistently focused and seeking the Lord's face, you know what? He's still going to put you through the ringer in a lot of cases and allow you to experience some very difficult circumstances, because it's no small thing for you to become like Jesus. And that's God's plan for you. So learn to praise him and learn to rejoice in the Lord that he's accomplishing his purpose in you. And even through the difficult times, you know what? He promised he's going to be there. He's going to be there. He's going to accomplish his work and his will in the life of his child. We can be assured of that. What a great assurance the Word of God gives us relative to divine correction, the instruction, the training of God's children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray.